Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of the week for us to talk to Barbara Dooley. We love her. And we know we got another big game coming up. Barbara, Mike is out today. Mark Zeno is in for Mike. He's traveling overseas to see the Falcons on Sunday. But we got to talk about what you thought about last week before we talk about this Miss State game. What did you think about the Florida matchup?
Oh, my. Hey, they make you sick. They truly make you sick to your stomach. And people were beeping my phone like, what's going on? I can't take this another second. I mean, it was like hilarious. And I kept thinking, it's not over. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. We're going to pull it out. And sure enough, we did. And it's just shocking to me how this is going on now every single week. It's not once in a while. It's every friggin' week we go through this. It's not right. Let me tell you, it's not right. A weak heart can't make it through it. But once again, we found out a way to do it. And that's a champion. That's what a championship team does. They find a way to win. And I don't know if you've noticed this, and you know how much I love Gunnar Stockton, but if I didn't love Gunnar, if I didn't know Gunnar, and I just watched him play, he is the coolest dude. It looks like he has no emotions, literally. The whole game, it doesn't matter where the game is, he just looks the same.
He does. And Barbara, I got to tell you, last week when Gunnar took that knee, there were so many people who were at first, right? Because we're all in the moment. You're going, no, score! But this kid is so brilliant that he has heard his coaches say, hey, we got the lead. We get the first down. Take the knee. We don't need to give them the ball back. We don't need to give them any additional chances to touch the ball. It was the right play. And then Kirby said, Barbara, that running play to Chauncey where he scores for the Dogs there and late in the second half, that was an adjustment by Gunnar. I mean, this kid's playing at a high level.
He is playing at a high level. And one man texted me and said, I watched him in his first game with Georgia and never thought he'd make it through the season. And he's done nothing but got better. And he's right. He's gotten better and better and better. But I think people got so angry. I didn't get text about it, but I got a lot of mouthing that Stockton and Kirby had cost the Georgia people millions of dollars because he didn't score and didn't beat the line. Well, if people realize what happened the week before, I think it was the week before, Gunnar ran and slid for a touchdown when we really didn't need to score.
It was against Auburn.
That's exactly right. When Kirby got off the field, I don't know if you saw. I mean, when Gunnar got off the field, Kirby chewed him out. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
Well, Gunnar's not going to make that mistake again. Because he didn't want Florida to get the ball back again. You don't know what's going to happen. So, no, he did the right thing. Absolutely. But the moral of the story is, if you can't take a loss because of your money, don't bet.
Amen. Amen. Barbara, it's Mark Zeno. Great to talk with you.
Hey.
I wanted to ask you, I was at the cocktail party. It's my first one ever. It was a great experience. It's a college football bucket list kind of thing. You have to go if you've never been. That's
all
it.
You do. Yeah.
Yes. Are you worried about the fact that they find themselves, you know, in situations where they're usually trailing in the first half? I mean, how many more times can they come back, especially as the opponents get better next week against Texas and as they get into the college football playoff?
Well, it's going to be – I think we need to worry about Mississippi State. Do you know how well they have played against
Yes.
every team? And they should have beaten Tennessee easily. They have gone to the wire with every SEC team so far. So they could very easily be the team that we better not let get ahead of us, because I think their defense is pretty good, isn't it?
Their offense is good. Barbara, mm-hmm. they're averaging – I was saying this morning, we were talking about this, even though the Dawgs have won 21 of 27 games in this series against Miss State, they are averaging 33 points a game. So offensively, they're scoring points despite their 5-4 record and only their one conference win. I'm with you. I feel like this is going to be a real tough test. And, Barbara, you know, you get up there and they're doing them cowbells and all that
mm-hmm.
stuff. It can be crazy.
And an 11 a.m. local start time, too.
Well, trust me. Trust me. They'll be drinking before 11 a.m. But I will say this. They had a, you know, for years they didn't let them do the cowbells. Do
yep.
you remember, were you too young to remember that? They cut them out.
They did.
And oh, they did. And then they let them back in maybe 10 or 15 years ago, they let them back in. But those things will drive you nuts when they start ringing them. But we've won. This is the most amazing stat that I read this week. Georgia has won 38 of their last 41 games. How impressive is that?
It's incredible. You know, and Barbara, we were talking about what Kirby's done and how he's built on the legacy of Vince, and then obviously what Coach Rick did there. You know, even though Coach Rick didn't win a national championship, it's just like – The level of expectation right now for Georgia is off the charts.
It is off the charts, and I will have to say, if we look around the country or even just our conference, we've got four football major schools that have fired their coaches before the season ends. I think this is ludicrous that schools are paying this much money to fire a coach. It's really awful. It makes you never want to donate again, because you don't want to pay these kids these coaches $50 million to leave.
It's crazy, Barbara. It's insane.
It is insane. But think about the schools that have done that. Florida fired their coach, and I understand he walked away with $50 million.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah. I mean, he's laughing all the way to Hawaii. It's crazy.
Barbara, let me ask you real quick. But speaking of these buyouts, because I know you talked about Vince and the salaries when he was in the game. But they didn't have this buyout stuff back then. You know, guys got fired. You went and probably got another job, but you didn't have this golden parachute to land on.
I would say you didn't even have a golden parachute to eat on when you were fired. You were fired. You'd be fired. But, you know, I think, honestly, I thought about it, and I've thought of course, we never even made – I mean, we never made $1 million. Are you kidding me? If we had made $1 million, I would have been obnoxious, I know. So we never made that kind of money. But I am just thinking about loyalty. And yeah. I think literally all of this started with the players, when the coaches, and I'm going to have to say it, Coach Spurrier was the first coach in our conference. He got paid, I'll never forget, he got paid $1 million. and he left Florida. And we were stunned that he would get $1 million. Loyalty. They started buying coaches from school to school to school. Well, what kind of loyalty does that show students, the kids you're recruiting? You recruit them and say you're going to be there for them, and then you leave. If you think back, in my mind, it's just, it's awful. I don't think anybody has loyalty to the school, to the coach, to the team. It's just now all about money. And it truly breaks my heart. The whole game is changing.
It is.
It's changing.
And Barbara, real quick to make your point, it's Barbara Dooley, guys, with us, brought to you by Kroger. She joins us each and every week. Dogs getting ready for Miss State. Then they'll be back home against Texas next week. Barbara, but what you're saying about the loyalty, coaches have talked about this. I think Kirby's even talked about this. The buy-in. I'm coming, and I have this desire to be the best player for this particular school. That is gone. Like, that doesn't exist, I don't think, as it once did. But it also takes away from the game, and that's where I think what you're talking about, right? I mean,
it
does take away from something.
Well, it does, and then I think another thing that's happening, too, is I go to the football games, and only the very affluent can afford to take families to a football game anymore. Back when we came to Georgia, people brought all their kids, their grandkids. The tickets were $10 or $15 a head, and you could manage it.
Yeah.
I heard the other day that people paid $600 for a regular seat at Florida. $600. This just, it's out of control. I don't know what you do. I don't know what you do, but it's out of control. And
wow.
I don't think kids are growing up with the loyalty of a school that they once had. Gunnar Stockton's grandfather played at Georgia or was a student at Georgia. His daddy, his mom were students here, and he grew up with Georgia. He went to football games. And that's how you embed loyalty in a kid.
It is true. It is what you hope for and what you want. Barbara, we are going to see what these Dogs do against Miss State. We absolutely love you. You know that. And we will get a chance to talk to you next week about a big game at home against Texas. But let's see what the Dogs do on Saturday. Barbara, thank you so much. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs. And I hope we're tough, tough, tough and play that game for 60 minutes.
That's the key. You're right. Barbara, thank you. Have a great day. That's
okay,
Barbara Dooley.
Bye.
Thank you, Barbara.
Take care. But she's right, though. The loyalty, you know, and here's what's funny. For years we said, these kids, man, these coaches leave. Now the kids leave. Now the kids are out. I mean, like that, the loyalty aspect of it, I don't think it exists. As a matter of fact, I know it doesn't, as it once did. Barbara Dooley, brought to you by Kroger. All right, Chris Henderson's going to join us, guys. Atlanta United making moves. Mike Conti's going to jump in to talk with us as well and be a part of our interview with Chris Henderson, who's the chief soccer officer and sporting director for Atlanta United. We got a new manager who's our old manager, but he's a new manager. It's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks to Barbara Dooley for joining us. Every week she does that, and we look forward to our visits with her. More on the Dogs and Miss State, more college football conversation coming up, including a very spirited conversation about Brent Key, who came out and made a stance on where he is with Georgia Tech and leaving the program. But before we get to more of that and the Falcons being overseas, we got to talk to Chief Soccer Officer and Sporting Director Chris Henderson. We are live today, guys, by the way, at Buffalo's Cafe right here off of Windy Bagwell Parkway. It's 5380 in Hiram. Mark and I are here back at the studio, the voice of Atlanta United. Mike Conte is joining us as well. And Mike, I want you to start with Chris because we have a lot of questions about the hiring of Tata Martino.
Absolutely, and thanks for letting me join you guys. And Chris, thank you for being with us on what I know has been a busy day for you. When the change was made with Ronnie Dyla, the club said that they were conducting an international search for a new manager. So when did it become clear to you that Tata was going to be the target of that search?
We had a really good search right after the season, after starting on October 20th, and started interviewing candidates. We knew Tata was available. We had probably gone through five or six before we had Tata's first interview. It was clear that Tata had coached at the highest level. He's a world-class coach. Bringing him back again, all the success he's had here. And, you know, I have a history of working with him in Miami, and he's just one of the best coaches I've ever been around. And so we're thrilled to bring him in. It's a huge coup for the club to bring him back into Atlanta.
This is going to be a little bit of a different challenge for Tata, Chris, from as compared to the first time he was here when he came into an expansion team and everything was kind of being built from the ground up. Now he comes in with a roster that is in place, and many of the players on the existing roster will be back at the start of 2026. So what role will Tata have in guiding you in retooling this roster for 2026?
Yeah, it'll be really collaborative. We've had some really good initial meetings and going through the roster, talking about players, talking about different ways that we can support the team, going through each department. Tata and I have gone through this before in the summer of 23 when we retooled the Miami roster. And, we went on to win two trophies in that period of time. So we've gone through it before. He understands the roster mechanisms and in the rules going through that and some of the restrictions in the salary cap. Obviously, when he came here in the expansion year, you have a whole different set of money. You have expansion funds. You have ways to build your roster that current teams that are in the league don't have. So there was an advantage for expansion teams for sure to have a good start. But we feel confident that we can add the pieces that can play in the identity and game model that Tata wants to play.
Chris, I think there's a perception out there that Tata, because he built or was part of building the team in 2017 with so many players from South America, that maybe there would be a scouting shift back towards South America in trying to find players to build this current version of Atlanta United. Is that actually the case, or is geography really irrelevant?
You know, Mike, it's funny. When you talk to Tata and you ask him about some of the players that he coached in his career that had some of the biggest influence on him and just great people, great players that he coached, he mentioned some of the players who played in the original team with Guzan and Parkhurst and Larenowitz and some of those key Nagby, some of the key pieces who were MLS, quote-unquote MLS American players. He had a really good connection. So he understands the value of players who know MLS and have played in MLS. Of course, that's where he knows the players in Latin America, players that have had success for him in the past. Oftentimes you can get some really good deals out of South America of players who want to go to Europe, but they want to take MLS as a springboard. I think Diego Gomez was a good example. I think Miggy Almiron, when he first came from Lanús to Atlanta United and then went to Newcastle. Those are great examples of players who come through MLS and can raise their value and have a great experience and win here.
You're listening to Dukes and Bell. This is Mike Conte. Carl and Zeno are at Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram, and they're going to come in to this in just a moment, but a chance to speak with Atlanta United Sporting Director Chris Henderson on the day that Tata Martino returns to the club as Atlanta United head coach. Chris, I've seen some people out there on social media calling this nostalgia play. that Atlanta United is bringing the band back together now with Tata. How do you respond to people who are saying that this is being done out of nostalgia?
Well, I would say he's got the winningest percentage of any coach in league history. So it's, you know, it's hard to complete. I think Brian Smetzer's behind him. You can go down the list, and they're all behind Tata Martino for the most wins, winning percentage. So I feel he's the right choice at the right time for this club. The energy that he will bring with his coaching staff. He's been out for a little, you know, a few months, and now he's ready to get working again. So I'm really excited for what is to come and the work that we have in front of us. We have a lot of work, but I'm really excited. And I think the players here, the front office, the training ground, everyone has the energy and excitement to come back in 26 and show what this club can be.
Chris, I just want to ask about the style of play. We all assume that it's going to be what it once was here. And that was a chaotic style that was certainly embraced by the club's faithful fan base and certainly the 17s. I think there is an energy that's already building because we know what Tata's capable of. But just from a style of play aspect, how would you answer that to Atlanta United fans and coming in? Because, again, as Mike said, it is a new team, a new situation that you guys are in right now.
Yeah, I would say, you know, from my 2 years with Tata in Miami, he's going to get players who want to compete every single game, every single training. He's going to get players that complement each other. And how do we find the right combinations to support Latte Lot up front and Miguel Almiron and Saba and Alexi to find those players to get the right combination? Sometimes it might be a name that you've never heard of, but they do the job and they do their job well. So I think those are the things we have to break down and look at the roster now and find out which pieces need to be tweaked or moved. And then the other thing is sometimes it's just you have a new structure, you have a new style, and players respond different to different coaching staff. So let's see what we can do with the players we have, and hopefully there's a big kick from the reaction they have under a new structure.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Chris Henderson, we appreciate you stopping by. Chief Soccer Officer and Sporting Director visiting with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The voice of Atlanta United, Mike Conti, back at the studio. Chris, good luck, and we look forward to seeing you guys soon.
Thanks, Carl, Mark, Mike. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right. And look, just like with anything, as Mike Conti asked the question about nostalgia, we've got to give Martino a chance to come in here. It is more about the personnel, guys, I think, than anything. And I thought it was a great question by Mike to talk about what type of players they're going to go after. I think Tata likes certain kinds of players. That's going to change this roster up a little bit. But he understands, you know, with the designated players and how much money that they'll be available to spend, what that's going to look like. But all of a sudden, this gives us a little life coming off the worst season for Atlanta United. And I think we got a little spoiled. The way this thing started, everybody said, this, we're going to be this good every year. And we now know in sports, it just doesn't happen that way. But we got a chance to get back to the promised land with Tata in charge. So hopefully that happens. All right, we got more to dive into here on the show, including more dog talk. Mike Griffith is going to join us. If you missed Jalen Johnson from the Hawks earlier in the show, it's online at Odyssey.com as we broadcast live from Wendy Bagwell Parkway in Hiram. We're at Buffalo's Cafe. We're coming back. We got to talk more about these coaches and salaries. Barbara Dooley brought it up. Day-Day asked us last hour about it. Zeno says, I'm crazy to think that they shouldn't pay Brent Key right now.
You are crazy.
We got to talk more about this, and we will, coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now, what am I doing, gentlemen? Dig deep in your pockets. Dig deep.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is your home for live college football, guys. Saturday, 8 a.m., we get the day started with college football game time brought to you by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com and by Alumni Hall. Shop UGA, Bama, Tennessee, and more. It's where fans shop. Join the guys, John Fricke, Chris Goforth, Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman, they'll set the stage for all the big matchups. We got BYU facing Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. We also have a full slate of games all day Saturday, so make sure you check it out. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You like Tech in that game,
don't you? BYU getting their ass whooped by Texas Tech is
okay.
What you mean.
By the way, he gets to pick Mike's Mike's picks, right? Is Mike calling in? What do we know?
Well, he said he was going
no,
to
No, we can't do that now.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, Mike said he was
– I'll have to leave the room.
Yeah, you're like a freaking ringer, apparently, Zeno.
But I think we should be able to –
Oh, no. I think you would sync Mike's – you would sync Mike, yes.
You know, at least participate, but Mike claims he's going to text his picks in if
yes,
he
can't that's what
call.
He said to me, yeah. He was like, I don't know where we'll be, but I'm going to try to call in. And I was like, all right.
No, we don't do that.
All right, that's
no,
Friday.
You can. I will.
No, it has nothing to do with you.
No, it has nothing to do with you.
It's Mike never wanting to bend the rules unless they bend in his favor.
It has nothing to do with you. The last time, no, real story. The last time he did this, we said, hey, call. I think it was in Florida.
He was on a boat.
And, he was on a boat. And we're like, hey, call in and give us your picks. And he called in. Let's just say he was getting it in all day. And by the time he called in, we were like, hey, what's your picks? And it went a little left. So that's why we say that.
Yeah. Oh.
He might be enjoying himself, which he has every right to. He's on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But that's what we're talking about.
I don't want that conversation again afterwards, no.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, just when you're on vacation, just be on vacation. That's like standard rule, right?
Wait, did you just play something, Oren?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I thought you played something.
I'll tell you what Oren has been playing, man. He got a little Nana Cherry in before. Now we're here at C'est La Vie. I mean, listen, if I ever get married again, Oren's DJ in the wedding.
Are you going to get married again?
Probably. I'm dumb enough.
Okay. Fair enough.
Oh, Magic 8-Ball again, yes.
All signs point to yes.
Let's talk about this Brent Key thing, guys. If you're just joining us, earlier in the show, we literally started the show with this because Zeno and I, we sat down here at Buffalo's Cafe and we started talking about this. And it was like, why are you saying what you're saying? And so it led us to a conversation about all these job openings. Again, we can go down the list, but Florida, Arkansas, we know, LSU. And we were just talking about Brian Kelly. There's this leak email from Brian Kelly, apparently, that he wrote to the LSU folks there talking about what he needed to do to basically get his money. But let's talk about what Brent Key said, because this was very interesting to me. And when we talked about this earlier today, it was sort of like, okay, did you need to say what you said? Now, you feel like he's going to get paid, right, regardless.
Somebody better break him off.
Okay.
So somebody will break him off.
And this conversation actually started yesterday, guys, when we were at Flowery Branch, ironically. Mark and I were talking about he's going to get double his salary, okay? He hasn't necessarily won the ACC. They're not in the college football playoff, but he's at about $4.5 million right now. That's what he's making. It sounds like chump change when you start putting that in comparison to some of these other college coaches. But again, you take over a program, turn it around, then the goods come. Mm-hmm. A lot of people feel like the momentum and everything he's done is where it needs to be. But is Georgia Tech prepared to pay Brent Key $10 million or more? And this leads us to, I'm going to read what he said, but you're saying the jobs that are out there are going to be paying more.
Yeah, I mean, if just look at the extensions that were handed out to coaches at their own schools with similar or lesser resources than Georgia Tech. Brett Lashley got $10 million a year to stay at SMU. Kurt Cignetti got $11 million a year almost to stay at Indiana. Matt Rhule got, I think, $8.5 million two more years, and he ain't won a damn thing at Nebraska. He hasn't even beaten a ranked team yet. Like, this is what the market bears, and with all these jobs out there, you know, that are going to be available, anybody who's looking for a new job, and I'm not saying Brent Key is, but anybody who's looking for a new job is going to be – it's going to come at a higher price. Just like quarterbacks are getting paid more. Linebackers are getting paid more. Coaches in college are getting paid more. That's just the reality of the situation. So the market bears with all these jobs that are open. Forget the low, forget the high-level jobs. Just the sheer amount of jobs on the same level. Like Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech are on the same level as far as job is concerned. Right? Like they're both, you know, intermediate programs within their conference that have the ability to rise and have been at low points. I mean, that job's open. I mean, we haven't even talked much, that much about Florida. Forget, you know, LSU and Penn State. You know, Florida's still involved. There's just so many jobs out there that are available that they need to figure out a way to – he's going to get a raise. It's just a question of what he's willing to take slash settle for. I mean, he might be willing to stay there for eight. If he does, great. I'm not going to get mad at him. if he wants to stay at Georgia Tech and they offered him 7.5 or 8, and he says, yeah, I'm happy to be here. I'll take the money.
Well, it sounds like he wants to stay. Here's the quote from Brent Key when asked about his name being thrown around for other jobs around the country. I don't start rumors. I just talk about them once they're out. So he says, since I came here, Georgia Tech, since I was named the head coach here, outside of my time with my family, every waking second of my life has gone towards building this program to get to the point that it is right now. So that I and we can turn this into, hey, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, we continue to elevate this place. It's in the conversation. Brent Key went on to say, not only, as I get a phone call, I'm doing a live radio show, not only do we want to be there, you know, for 2 or 3 weeks, we want to be consistent in the conversation. Then at the end of this quote, he says this. People say you lose one game and, you know, the storybook is over. And he's talking about obviously losing last week. And everybody says, oh, great season. He says, nah, it's just the beginning. Slice me open and see what colors I bleed. When you say that, you are screaming and putting yourself in a box saying, I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care who comes and
visits. That's your interpretation. That's not what he's saying.
No, this is what he's saying.
No, that's
I don't care who comes and visits me. Nope. I don't care what the circumstances are. Nope. Cut me open.
Nope.
I want to be here at Georgia Tech.
Nope.
That's what he's saying.
It's not
and
what he's saying.
That is
your interpretation of what he's saying.
No, that's what he's saying. It's right here in black and white.
I know.
Cut me open.
He said cut me open.
You ever heard Kirby say that? You ever heard Kirby say it?
No.
Did you ever hear Nick Saban say it?
I have not. I have not.
Correct. Come on, Kirby. Come on.
I mean, look, the point is that he can say that and can take another job that is better for him and his family and his kids and his children's kids. No.
Hypocritical.
It's not. First of all, we don't know if there's another offer on the table. That's number one, okay? If you say it when there's another offer on the table, then you're a hypocrite. But in the absence of new information right now, dealing with the information that he has, that nobody's made him an offer to go anywhere or stay anywhere, it's a perfectly fine thing to say. If somebody else comes along with $11 million a year, he's absolutely justified in taking it. Why? Because it is a life-altering, life-changing deal for him and his family, and that's okay.
I thought you open your arm and see what color I bleed. Wait a minute.
Again.
Hold on a second. I thought you were loyal to Georgia Tech. I thought you were here to build this thing and stay. You see how hypocritical that is?
No, that's you saying it's hypocritical. That's
it
your
is.
Emotions. That's not what I'm saying. Listen, you cut me open, I bleed Italian. If you want me to work for Nicaragua for the next year, 10 years for $10 million a year, hand me some maracas, give me some cocaine, and let's go.
That's different.
Totally
and
fine.
And by the way, what the hell does that have to do with any? That doesn't have anything
I'm just
to do
saying,
with
whatever I bleed doesn't matter. What matters
yes,
is
yes, it does. When you say it, your word
for
means
reference,
everything.
Wesley just said was dumped. Okay.
Well, thank you. That's what I was gonna say.
Oh,
but
okay.
You said it for me. Oh, I don't know what the hell he's talking about, guys. Do I want Brent Key to be successful at Georgia Tech? Yes. Do I think he's deserving of a raise? My only thing with this is, the season's not over. Let's finish the damn season before we start dropping $10 and $15 million on guys.
That's not how it works.
Okay?
That's not how it works. You're being unrealistic.
What has he done?
He's returned the program to relevancy. Put him in the top 10 for the first time in three decades.
What have they won?
They have won relevance. They have won buyback into
relevance?
The program from the fans, from
that
the media,
doesn't mean
from
anything.
Everybody. And absolutely. You know what it means? Cash for the university. It means cash. It means eyeballs. It means tickets. It means merchandise. It means kids coming in. It means events. It means everything.
Trey, tell him, Trey. What does he want? What does he want?
What have you won?
Nothing.
Tell me. What
that's
have
all
you
I'm
won?
Asking.
You know what? They've won 8 games, and that's a lot more than they've won in years past. That's what they've won.
Well, then in that case, Paul Johnson should have got $20 million. Paul Johnson.
The market didn't bear
that was
back
a different
then.
Era.
The market didn't bear.
Here you guys go. Here you guys go.
The point. Also,
he should have got
Johnson,
$10 million a year if he was winning 8 games a year.
Yeah, nobody wanted Paul. That's
Paul
the thing,
Johnson
Carl.
Won 8 years.
And oh, by the way, how long? Speaking of being relevant under Paul Johnson. How much longer did he get to stay in this job because they were relevant?
Were they
nobody
really,
would have,
though?
No, yes, they were.
Were
listen,
they really?
Going to winning
was
8 or 9
really
games?
Was he really putting a bunch of guys in the league? Like,
no.
Was it really not, fun to watch?
No, it wasn't. And the point is that he would have never taken that triple option offense anywhere else other than what Georgia Tech allowed him to do, which is why he left coaching altogether because it was a dead system that had no future. That aside,
yeah, that was, you
they
know who
were
that
relevant.
Was? That was the AD and everybody behind that.
Right.
They should have moved on that for years ago.
Okay, but the point is, and this is why you give him the extension. You're saying exactly the right thing. You give him the extension because you dance with the devil you know, and what you have, a bird in the hand is worth two in a bush. Going to find another coach if he decides to leave.
Oh, so you're scared.
I'd be very scared of going to find another coach. In today's environment, yeah. And if you've got Georgia, something that wins,
then why is everybody firing their coach?
Because, listen, a lot of these were emotional.
Because if you're scared, you don't cut a $54 million check. If you're scared, you don't cut a $45 million
check.
But
that wasn't the people in charge. That was the boosters. This is what the business of college football has turned into, that people who donate money make decisions, not the AD, not the school president. You know what happened to James Franklin? Somebody who donated $30 million last year and said, I want him out now. If you don't, you're getting no more money from me. Click and hang up the phone.
Really? After 12 years?
Yep. That's exactly what happened. And the same thing happened to Brian Kelly.
Really?
Three boosters got together and said, we're taking our $50 million and walking out the door next year. Get rid of him now. And hung up the phone.
And
that was how the decision was made.
So then all of that is happening, but yet here you are scared and saying, I don't want to let him go. I need to pay him.
You do need to pay him.
Meanwhile,
right now,
Arkansas, Tennessee, Penn State, Florida,
LSU, right?
All these perceived jobs that are better, they're cutting the cord. But here you are going, oh, I'm so scared. I got to cut him a check. These other schools aren't.
Again, Indiana did, SMU did, Nebraska did.
Indiana is an outlier. Keep Indiana out of your mouth. Kurt Cignetti led his team to the playoff. He has actually won something, Trey.
No, he didn't.
Trey, tell him.
No, he didn't. He didn't win a Big Ten title.
Tell him, Trey.
Didn't win a Big Ten title. Didn't win a playoff game.
He
won nothing. Didn't win a Big Ten title. Didn't win a playoff. No.
Win his
Big Ten title. You asked what he won. The answer is nothing. You asked what he won. The answer is nothing. Didn't win the Big Ten. Didn't win a playoff game.
And let me ask you
this. He's won the same amount as Brent Key.
Let me ask
zero.
You this. Whatever. Let me ask you this.
Oh, man, zero.
If Brent Key doesn't get to the playoff this year, then what?
They're not going to. Like, the chances against him doing it are slim.
But then you want to cut a check.
Because this is what the market says you have to do to keep him here.
Can't do it.
You're being short-sighted and foolish.
Can't do it. Not yet. Not yet.
I don't want you managing my money.
I make a lot of money. Let the season play out.
I know. You didn't make a lot of money. I said I don't want you managing
And I have
my
a
money.
Lot. Let the season play out. You're going to get me robbed out here. Let the season play out. That's what you have to do in these situations. And the only beef I have for Georgia Tech fans who may be agreeing with Zeno and say, Dukes, you got to pay him. Here's the problem. Everybody jumps the gun. You just talked about Nebraska. Irrelevant. Nebraska got the quarterback that Georgia had. Everybody said, good riddance. The kid goes up there. They're not doing anything.
Oh, see, but again, that's
irrelevant.
That's not true. They couldn't even get to a bowl game before Matt Rhule showed up there. They couldn't even get to a bowl game.
So that is why you extend Matt Rhule?
The reason you extend him is because if somebody else wanted to poach him for a better job.
Bye now.
I want to keep.
Goodbye.
That's you. That's not how the business and ADs and presidents think.
Because they're like scared. They don't have balls to say, you know what? If you need to move on, move on. I'm confident in finding somebody who can run this program and do it. And guess what? If you fail, that is the nature of hiring college football coaches.
There's one of
Kirby Smart.
You're not wrong in that assessment.
There's one of Nick Saban.
And here's the thing. And somebody just tweeted me about loyalty. Keaton, his loyalty to Tech. Loyalty is conditional. In every facet of – there's no such thing as – loyal is always conditional. There are very few unconditional loyalty scenarios outside of family in this world. If somebody's offered him $12 million and he took it, nobody should be mad at him. Nobody should be mad. That's not being disloyal. That's being loyal to your family, taking care of them, and your career being more important than what a fan thinks about his loyalty. It doesn't matter. It's not in the equation. But keeping Brent Key in the fold here is so critically important.
What's up, Dave?
Should Brent Key be making more than Taylor Jenkins Memphis?
At Memphis?
Yes.
He should be.
He's not.
He should be.
He's not.
But you know what? That's the nature of Tech. That is not Brent Key. Brent Key chose to go to his alma mater because he loves it. He bleeds. Hold on. Slice me open and see what colors I bleed. He took the job knowing that it was a lesser tier job from a paying standpoint. He didn't care. He didn't give a damn because he knew if he built it, when you win, then the rewards come.
Okay, but again.
But Memphis was a job that Mike Norvell was at. Mm-hmm. There are other guys that have come along that have made the Memphis job and elevated the salaries so that now you get this situation. I mean, he's not won anything either, but Memphis is ranked. They might be the group of five that gets into the playoff. But what if they don't? I just feel like you got to wait. You don't just do this because you're scared.
Again, wait at your own peril because the longer you – listen, man, here's the thing. Guess what?
What? What?
If you're waiting for the girl to call you back, some of the dude's already calling her. Some other dude is already calling.
Are you speaking from experience?
No.
He was the other guy that got the phone call. That's who he is.
No, I'm not bringing my personal business here.
Are you speaking from experience?
I am telling you that people are going to come knocking to see about Brent Key's availability very soon.
Zeno is the one who knocks.
I think we can all be right about this one statement. Brent Key is in a really good spot. If he stays at Tech, he's going to get paid. If he leaves, he's going to get paid. My thing is, don't tell me you're fully committed and you bleed those colors and that's where you want to be. And every way, let me read it again, Zeno. Every waking second of my life has gone to build this program.
So is the same for every other coach. They sleep at the facility.
Then you ain't leaving.
Every coach can say that. Every waking second of their life is at the facility working on a team getting better. I mean,
all right.
Look, I understand what you're saying about that last line that could come back to bite him. You know, from a perception standpoint, I'm not emotional about this sort of thing. Business is cold.
You're not emotional?
Business is cold. Business always has to be cold. That's the best businessmen have no emotions whatsoever.
We got to go. You're such a liar right now. Okay. You're not emotional?
Not when it comes to money.
Goodness. All right, we're coming back. Certain Falcons not making this trip. We just got the latest injury report. They were not on the plane. Will it change your opinion about what might happen this weekend against the Colts? Falcon Report's on the way next.
What have you done for me lately?
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.